Hi, I'm Dr. Tamitha Scove, the Space Weather Woman, and you are listening to audio from my video forecast. So when I reference something to look at or to watch, if you want to see it, just visit my YouTube channel or check it out at spaceweatherwoman.com. And now, here is your forecast. We have a new active region that's been firing off some pretty big flares, and we have a solar storm headed toward Mars and a solar storm headed toward Earth. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is picking up unbelievably quickly. Oh my gosh, there's so much activity, I don't even know where to start. As we take a look at our front side sun, the first thing to look at is region 2822 on the sun's east limb. You can see it gurgling and burgling like that. This region has been a major flare player since it's been on the sun's far side. And in fact, as it rotates into Earth view on the 7th, wham, look at that. It fires off an M3.9 flare just as a way to say hello, and it launches a solar storm. That solar storm is the one that's headed toward Mars, and believe it or not, there's also a minor radiation storm that's involved. So hello, ingenuity and perseverance. You're gonna get rained on a little bit. Hopefully everything will be all right for you. Meanwhile, as this region continues to rotate into view, you can see it firing off some more smaller flares, and look in center disk at this kind of S-shaped thing here on the 9th. Watch this thing erupt. Swoosh! That is a filament eruption, and it is partially Earth-directed, and then, whammo! We get yet another solar storm launch. This flare wasn't quite as large, it was a C-class flare, but now we have two different solar storms. One of them is Earth-directed, so we literally have three solar storms in transit right now. The one that's Earth-directed looks like it could graze Earth in and around the 12th, but these are early estimates thus far, so we're gonna see if we get better estimates as time goes on. Now, as we switch to our sun's far side, this is Stereo A, and it's looking at the sun pretty much from the side. You can see all the bright regions right there. In fact, you can see region 2822 firing off the big solar storm back on the 7th. You can see that shock wave just blast across the sun like that. That's the solar storm that's headed toward Mars. Then you can see on the 9th, you can see again that little S-shaped filament thing. That then erupts and that goes Earth-directed. And you can see on the sun's far side, and again, region 2822 fires off yet another solar storm. So again, there's those three solar storms that are in transit right now. And look past that. Not only do we have a bit of a coronal hole that could be sending us a little bit of fast solar wind here in about 2 weeks or so, but we also have another bright region on the sun's far side in the south. Who knows if this is going to be yet another sunspot, but it could. And with all this activity, we are seeing radio bursts. So space traffic and radio comms might be slightly affected, and amateur radio operators and emergency responders, I'm sure you're loving the boost in radio propagation. Now, focusing on those solar storms that were launched both toward Mars and toward Earth over the past couple days, we switched to our solar storm prediction model, ENLIL. Now, this is NASA's version of the model, and you're looking down at the sun from the North Pole, with Earth being off to the right. Now, if we focus on that Mars-directed solar storm first, you can see it launching from the sun right on the 7th. This was when we had that big M3.9 flare from region 2822, and you can watch this solar storm go down toward the east, and you can see Mars there down at the bottom. Now, this solar storm looks like it's going to reach Mars sometime early on the 11th. Now, also, because this was a pretty big flare, we do have a radiation storm that's involved that was launched at the same time. We see it from Stereo A. Luckily, this radiation storm is pretty minor, so all the time that this solar storm is making its way toward Mars, poor Ingenuity and Perseverance are going to be bathed in an elevated radiation environment, so hopefully that's not going to affect any of Ingenuity's flights that are coming up here in the next few days. But once that storm passes, the radiation storm will die down as well, and they'll be in the clear. Now, as we switch to the Earth-directed solar storm, this was the solar storm that was launched from that filament eruption on the 9th. It also had another solar storm was launched almost simultaneously from region 2822. So as it comes out, you can actually see it kind of looks looks like this smeared out thing. That's because there's actually two solar storms involved. One of them is going to kind of graze Earth, it looks like, early on the 12th. Now, sadly, we do not have any LASCO coronagraph images as of yet. We're doing this all from stereo. So this is an early prediction, and we'll see if the predictions change as more data rolls in to allow us to make better estimates of its arrival time. But for now, expect that we will likely get some type of disturbance starting around early on the 12th, and that means we could be seeing more aurora, and it might even make it down to mid-latitudes. Switching to our moon, we are now passing through the new moon phase, with the new moon being on the 11th, and by the 16th, the moon will still be only about 20% illuminated. So you night sky watchers, with that solar storm coming on the 12th, hey, now's a great time to catch some dim objects in the sky, including some aurora. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that solar storm that is partly Earth-directed. Now, this is likely going to be a glancing blow, so we're not expecting all that much activity. At high latitudes, we're expecting active conditions, but we do have up to about a 40% chance of a major storm, and that should hit us right around midweek and last for a day or so, but not too long. Now, at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled conditions, but we do have up to about a 15% chance of a minor storm. Again, it's going to be hard to tell. It really depends upon whether or not that solar storm actually hits us or it kind of grazes us off to the east. Either way, aurora photographers, definitely keep your batteries charged because this is the first time we've had a decent chance for a solar storm in a little while. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, look at this. Not everything is in the green. When was the last time I was actually able to say that? We actually do have a tangible M-flare threat risk this week, and this is due to region 2822. This is the region that actually fired off an M3.9 class flare just a few days ago, and this region continues to be busy. It's firing off C-class flares quite frequently. So you GPS users on Earth's day side, we do have about a 15% chance of an M-flare risk, and that means potential radio blackouts. So if you happen to be on Earth's day side, or especially anywhere near the dawn dust terminators, be aware you could have GPS reception issues on and off throughout this week. Now, also, we do have the solar flux boosting that's going to continue to boost possibly up into the low 80s by the end of this week, and that's due to not just region 2822, but yet another bright region rotating into Earth view. So this means that the radio propagation on Earth's day side will continue to be well into the marginal range. Just amateur radio operators and emergency responders understand that if you're hearing some popping and sizzling on the bands, that is not your rig. That is just simply solar activity picking up. You're likely hearing that radio noise from those solar flares. So deal with that, sadly, and we'll get through it. Now, meanwhile, because we are beginning to crawl out of solar minimum, we don't have nearly as intense of cosmic ray radiation that we have been having, but we're still not down into the nominal range yet. We are at the D2 minor range for radiation dose, and this is for prenatal passengers as well as flight crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high altitudes and high latitudes. So keep this radiation moderate dose into your flight plans as much as you need to consider it. So we have some pretty active space weather to look forward to this week. When was the last time I was able to say that? We've had multiple solar storm launches. One is actually on its way to Mars. One is actually kind of on its way to Earth. And it could bring us some aurora, possibly down to mid-latitudes, if the impact is a little bit more than just that glancing blow we're expecting. So aurora photographers, definitely keep your batteries charged because we could see aurora down to mid-latitudes, which would be a real treat. Now, also, we have that big flare player. This is region 2822. It has already fired an M-class flare while it's been in Earth view, and it's another near M-class flare just a couple days ago. So, and it is continuing to fire C-class flares along with solar storms, and it could easily do this over the rest of this week and possibly into next week before it begins to rotate to the sun's far side. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, get used to the sizzle and popping on the bands. This is solar activity. It's not your rig. Don't worry about it. The nice thing is that we do have yet another region rotating into Earth view, and that will be continuing to boost that solar flux up so that we have marginal radio propagation on Earth's day side, and we're edging closer to good radio propagation. So keep your fingers crossed that this trend continues. And now finally, you GPS users, well, this is the first time I've actually had to warn you that we do actually have the potential for radio blackouts. So if you are on Earth's day side and especially near those dawn dust terminators, be very, very careful because you could have GPS reception issues. So just be aware of that. And then also when that solar storm hits, if it's more than a glancing blow, remember you can also have GPS issues, reception issues, if you happen to be anywhere underneath or nearby aurora. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for listening.